Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Tuesday, November 13th, regular Thoyle City Council meeting. And we'd like to start with a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the council and the decisions they make tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Item 1D is our roll call. And tonight, we have Councilwoman Gina Doro got called away to do a couple of family things. So I would entertain a motion tonight to excuse Gina Doro. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Don't need to bring to your attention, but Councilman Larry McCordy has retired. So we're going to hear more about that later. Is there any citizen input, item 1E, tonight? Okay, hearing none. We'll move to our approval of the agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Thank you.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And item 3 is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve that.
I'll make that motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. And now we'll move to our current business. Item 4A, steps to appoint council member to complete an unfinished term. And tonight, our city clerk, Tanya Morelos, is going to outline a process for us.
Good evening, council. As you all know, last week we lost one of our own, and we're all saddened by the sudden death of Councilman Larry McCordy. So tonight I want to give the council a blueprint that will assist in director steps in finding a replacement and to appoint someone to finish the unexpired term of Mr. McCordy. I checked with MRSC, the county auditor, and our city attorney to make sure that the mayor and the council are following all the right procedures in state law. So you'll see on the board, well, I'm going to read them off what the steps are so we can proceed with this. So step number one, we're going to advertise that there's an opening on the city council and call for resumes from interested parties. I will post on the city website, Facebook, the Sun Tribune newspaper, so we can get any interested parties. Number two, they must be at least 18 years of age, a U.S. citizen, registered to vote, and live within the city limits. Number three, we will accept applications until 5 p.m. November 30th. Number four, the city council will then conduct interviews in an executive session on the December 3rd council meeting. City council will then deliberate in the executive session after all the interviews are completed. Six, city council can elect to make a decision on the 3rd of December, the same day. And last, the new council member will then be sworn in and seated at the meeting that the council decides. So that's all I have for you. If you guys have questions for me, I can take those now.
Council?
Okay.
That's very good, Tanya. Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we'll move to item 4B, our 2019 budget discussion. And Spencer, you have prepared some information for the council, so let's review that.
Yes, thank you very much. Whoa, I just shocked myself with the deal up here. Goodness, that wasn't expected. Tonight's conversation is very much a continuation of our last Monday night's meeting, where we're talking about the budget. We're just at the tail end of things here. We're talking about the last red zone items that we're including or not including in the budget. Tonight, where most of our conversation is going to be around the same Excel spreadsheet that we had up last time, where we'll get to that here in just a sec. Right before I get to that, though, I wanted to brief you on the tourism committee, the money that we received from the tourism tax. We have a fund, we just call it the tourism fund, where we receive the lodging, lodging tax. And every year I meet with the lodging tax advisory committee. That's made up of five individuals, one council member, two people representing the organizations that spend the money, and two people representing the organizations that pay the money, the hotels. We met to discuss this new year. We looked at the different applications and the requests from each one of these different organizations, and these are ultimately the dollars that we decided, that committee decided that they wanted to award to each one of those organizations. There were a couple of things that committee talked about. One was they were hoping for each one of these organizations that each one would get a little bit more, which we built a little bit more into the budget for each one of those organizations. And the other thing that we talked about was the ending fund balance. In the past, we typically had an ending fund balance of $40,000 as the balance that the council wanted to have, that the council wanted to have left in that fund, $40,000. This year, the plan is to run that down to $30,000. I want to say in 2018, the current year, our ending fund balance was about $32,000 or $35,000. So anyway, the committee thought that was still a reasonable fund balance to leave in this fund this is still a reasonable fund balance to leave in this fund for the council in the event that something came up during the year that you wanted to spend tourism dollars on. So that was $30,000 there, and then we're planning on spending just over $52,000 for each one of these organizations.
Are we allowed to make suggestions on that?
Yes.
I'd like to see a little bit more go to the gun club.
Bingo.
They are growing and growing and getting more. Yeah. I mean, knowledge is 100% of it, and they help with that. And I would like to see them helped out a little bit more.
Who do you want to take it from?
You got 5-3 on the bottom down there. I mean, if you just take 500 out of that, mm-hmm. You're still above $30,000, and that puts it at, I can't see it real well, you know, real close to $1,500, you know, 1,400 and change, right?
So if we did that, mm-hmm. and we added it, so.
Or 1,200, okay, sorry.
Maybe something like that.
Yeah. I think that's...
Well, I think some of the way I was looking at it, because I was thinking the same thing you were, Eugene, but the way I was looking at it is some of these committee recommendations for the allocations, mm-hmm. for the requests, and what was actually allocated in 2018, they're very random. So if we said, okay, the Sand Hill Crane Festival was allocated $8,400 last year, and this year they've asked for $10,953, but if we gave them $9,400, that's $1,000 more than what they got last year. Take the 77, put it under the.
That's sort of what I was thinking.
Yeah. You know, kind of just chip away at each one.
The old hotel, take 92 out of that, and
the Latino State Championship game. They got $2,500 last year. They're getting $2,800 this year. I recommend giving them the same amount. There's $320. You know, kind of get these things to a rounded number, and like $92 from the old hotel and $205 from the fair.
Well, so, and if you could move that a little bit, you know, down towards that gun club and get a little bit closer to the 1500.
Yeah.
I mean, that would, you're still fair for everybody. You're still fair for everybody.
You're basically giving most of these people, or most of these clubs and organizations are getting more than what they got last year, except for the ask by the gun club, and that I think is the first time it's been on the list for requests.
They were last year.
The gun club, they were last year also. They received 700 last year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they got 90
okay,
bucks.
Okay, so look at what they got up there now. Are you guys?
We were talking kind of quickly through some. Did you have other ones with this one right here? Did you want to adjust that?
Did you say 205 off the Othello Fair, John? I thought I heard you say that.
Well, he's got the 1500 now.
Yeah, that's why you give him $500 more. It puts him at $6,000 if you take 205 out and bring it down.
Yeah. I'm good with that right now.
Yeah.
Just leave that 207 on the bottom. And...
yeah.
And then the chamber, that's not one, that's per the 20 and 30.
You know, I mean, $20, what's $20 going to do? You make it around, you know, 2,800.
Were you present at the meeting, Spencer?
Yes.
So how did they come up with these odd numbers? What was their formula?
There was a calculation to look at the amount of money that was available last year versus the amount of money that's available for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to, well, I took that percentage and I just added that across the board to each one as a starting point. Mm-hmm. Then we took some and we moved some around. Not as many as we moved out here tonight, but so it was a percentage.
Okay. I like what you got there.
Well, I do, but...
put the Latino at 2,900 even, and I had to clear that $20 up. Ow. And we're still good on the bottom. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only other thing is the museum. You add $10 to the museum, and that'll give them...
$100.
Well, add $10, and that'll give them $800.
The chamber, you take out 538? Or what?
No.
Leave it there.
I want to take out that much from them.
Chamber's open all year.
Yeah.
The other ones are single event.
I'm just saying because you guys want to leave even numbers, but
or add 62 to it.
Yeah, add 62 to it and make it 3,600.
Okay, add.
We're still okay.
Add 62 to the chamber.
So make it 14.
13. Just make it 14 or 13,600.
13,600.
There we go. That's much nicer.
I like that. That's good.
So I'll bring this recommendation back to the LTAC, run it by them, and then include it in our final budget documents.
Well, this is city money.
Yeah.
Being appropriated for these.
Yeah.
Based on the tax that we collected.
Uh huh.
So the decision lies with us.
The ultimate decision does, but it needs to go through the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. And then when a different recommendation comes back from council, then we just start that over again.
When you advise them that the council settled on this.
Well, I will bring this back to them.
Truthfully.
So if we go back to what they recommended, which is what's on my agenda memo, you don't have to go back to them and we approve that. Because that's what they approved, right?
Right.
But if we change it up here, mm-hmm. we're required to go back to them to agree?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Go back through them. It's kind of a funny one.
I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that?
We don't have the final approval then.
How long do they want to wait for their approval?
Well, then they have to meet again.
Sorry?
You're going to have to meet again then.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm just saying, though, the final say comes down to the city.
Ultimately, you're right. The final say
does remind them of that.
Yes.
And remind them of the fact that we had a discussion, an open discussion, and this is what we settled
the
on.
The only reason that it then goes back through the LTAC again is because the state, with this specific tax, the state wants those paying the money and those using the money involved in that decision.
Okay.
And so this is how we make that circle.
So we have to come into agreement.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll bring this back to that lodging, I'll bring this back to that committee and then back to the council.
Thank you. Unless you guys want to go back to what they recommended.
No.
You like this, okay. Yes. I like this too.
Try that.
Yeah. Okay.
Then the remainder of the night is
going to be focusing on our red zone items like we did at our retreat last Monday night. There were a couple of changes that I made to this. The first change that I want to bring to your attention with the law enforcement tax, it looks like that is going to pass. So I added $172,000 to our beginning fund balance, or to our pot of available money to use. $172,000 is kind of a funny number, and that's based on receiving an amount of $230,000 for the year. That's a conservative estimate. And then if we receive that, if this tax is passed, we're not going to receive our first amount in January. It'll be a few months. It's likely that tax will be imposed in February. So companies will be collecting that new tax in February. In March, they'll send that money up to the Department of Revenue, and then it comes back down to the cities in April, the next month. And so there's a little bit of a lag there. And so I took that lag into effect when I moved from 230 to 172. Regardless,
the amount of money that will come in, it will all come in here, and we can use them.
I didn't know.
When we get halfway through the year and we find out that money is going to be significantly more than $172,000 for the year, then we can build that into the budget. Next year, we'll have our estimate will be much closer because we've had 1 year receiving the real tax. Anyway, I wanted you to know that I added that $172,000 up here. And so we come down to our working document here with that extra $172,000 and adding everything else as it was, we have an extra $93,000 to use at the bottom down here.
Okay, the money you moved out for the internal finance, basically, did you put it back over?
Yes, for the dispatch.
For the dispatch, yes.
The internal, we had a few things that I added back in. The pet rescue contract, the $8,000, at our last meeting, we discussed dropping that totally. So I just want to make sure that you want to do that. We'll talk through these one at a time tonight.
Sorry, I got ahead of you.
Then our dispatch, we talked about funding that over 3 years, $50,000 a pop. I added the other $100,000 back into this. If we're going to get that other sales tax revenue, I would advise that we just do that now. And we don't hire anything.
Nope.
We have $50,000 that we added during our last meeting for the fire reserves, and then some dollar amount for a central service to start building up reserves for some of our large IT purchases. Things like the dispatch center radios, things like IT upgrades, things like this that are large, $100,000 every 5 years. So tonight we can start talking through some of these things and leave them, cut them in half, a big monthly.
The pet rescue is over and above the agreed amount, correct? It's up there? The 8,000?
Yes.
Over and above. My opinion, and let's cut that in half. Let's do 4. I don't know that.
Hang on. I got a handout.
Oh, never mind.
I met with Roger Teamy today.
I love handouts.
While that handout's coming around, I can tell you our next meeting was planning on having the same conversation. Whatever we don't finish tonight in here, we'll finish at our next meeting on the 26th.
It's just me. Oh, Spencer?
I just took the paper. So I met with Roger Teamy this afternoon. Because I was thinking about this last time, we signed a three-year contract with Adams County Pet Rescue a year ago, and this was the first year of it. We included a contract for them to do the animal control services when Heather went to full-time as a
code enforcement.
Thank you, code enforcement. And so in some ways we helped them, but in other ways they also picked up a responsibility that the city used to do. We also gave them the dog license revenue, and we estimate that somewhere between $4,000 and $6,000 a year. And you all heard and were present when Roger Teamy explained all the money that he put into the system. And they have quite the facility here. If you look through, you look at the balance sheet on the, about the fourth page. They got almost $1 million facility sitting out there, and that doesn't include the land. If you go back, this is their budget for 2019. It's over $520,000. There's about $284,000 in expenses. They're showing a shortfall of $150,000 based upon their numbers. $50,000 shortfall this year. And of course, I like the fact that we have that facility. I like the fact of how they're taking care of it. He wants us to help bridge this gap. And so he's asking for the city to step up and pay more money. And I told him that I would present that to the council. And it's up to the council to decide what it wants to do. Of course, he has also said that, and he told you all this, that if the city doesn't step forward and help keep this going forward, that he's going to pull his support and the thing may fold. I'm not going to debate any of that. I'm not going to, because that's supposition at this point. We don't know whether they would fold or whether they would change their operation or whether exactly what steps that the board would take. Our contract is with the board. And so with that, I'm asking the council to consider adding to the contract, but what you want to add and how much you want to add is up to the council.
What was the original amount from last year, $4,000?
42.
42? Yeah. I think it's all right. I mean, I liked it since the last time I heard it. Just because, if I heard right, Heather was had more time on her hands, right? Because she used to pick up all this, a lot of this work, right? As far as picking up the...
That's correct. We've moved Heather 100% to code enforcement. She's still helping a little bit here and there with dog catching to get the new person trained out.
What I liked about it is that, you know, we have code enforcement and there's some issues that we haven't taken care of for the past 2-3 years, you know, on the second dwelling. And by, you know, giving her more time, maybe we can catch up on stuff like that. I like the idea. I don't see nothing wrong with that.
Well, I also want to point out that the board, we got a letter not from Roger Teamy, but from the board. Spencer reminded me of that this afternoon, that the board had requested an additional $8,000. And that's what we put up and we put into the budget. was an additional 8,000, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. They request $50,000 for the new year. We're requesting a $50,000 per year contract for the next 3 years from both the city and the county. So we're currently at 42,000. That's why I put the 8 there.
So that's 8,000 on top of the 4,200 then?
42,000.
Okay, so go ahead.
Why are we being asked for as much money as the county? I would think that they would want more money from the county than they do from the city. You know, and the other thing is I understand that they've taken over the dog catching, but if we're only getting 10 hours a week from dog catching, you know, I mean, that's 40 hours a month. And we increased their contract, what was it, 20 or 25,000 for 10 hours a week of services.
What we've asked for is about a half-time dog catcher.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I mean, since the meetings that we've had in the last month, we've seen a significant increase. My hope would be that continues, and it's kind of what I'm hearing from Kaya. So, I mean, I think 10 hours a week would be a pretty low number, but when we negotiated this, the expectation was we'd be getting about a half-time dog catcher.
And that's the renegotiation with the extra 8,000 we're going
to
get.
When we met with them, that had nothing to do with this 8,000. None of my communication had anything to do with the increase of fee. It was our original 42,000. The expectation there was half-time dog catcher, or roughly half-time dog catcher, and that we thought we weren't getting it and wanted it. Since then, they were going.
For the 2018 year.
This year.
Yeah.
So if you look at their income statement, the city of Othello is providing $20,000, and then we're also providing a contract service amount of $22,000. So we're providing $42,000, and they're asking for another $8,000. So if we go with another $8,000, we're going to be at $50,000 from the city of Othello to Pet Rescue, and the county is only at $25,000.
And that's plus our license fees, another $4,000 to $6,000 license fees.
I'm just talking
fees.
About what we're shelling out of our pocket from the city to Pet Rescue. It's going to be $50,000, and the county is only coming up with $25,000. Now, does Pet Rescue then do outside of the city limits? Are they doing the county's deal for their dogs and their cats?
My understanding is no. That if you have there's an animal in the county that you would need to bring that to Pet Rescue. Our dog catcher does not drive out and pick up animals in the county. My understanding.
So okay. If that's the case.
So who's doing that? The sheriff's department? Are the sheriffs picking up stray dogs? Or are they just letting the farmers shoot them?
I'm not going to answer that because I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But I do believe that our dog catcher is, when she's not doing bottle work, she's at the pet rescue, doing adoptions and some of the other work there. She's not out doing dog catching in the county. I don't know if deputies are picking up dogs. I would doubt it. I don't know the answer to that.
So are the allotment of the $25,000 from the county commissioners, as it's called here on the budget, is just a donation from the county?
That's what I was going to say a little bit. So if they're not doing anything, they're giving a lot more than us because they're not doing nothing for the county. But what I remember when I lived out in the country, whenever we had a dog and we had problems with it, we'd call the sheriff department. They'd pick it up and take it to the dog kennel. So we never seen anybody out there picking up dogs, unless you called.
And they won't pick them up anymore.
And they won't anymore?
No.
Yeah, so that was back 10, 15 years ago. It's been a long time.
No, they don't want stray dogs in the back of their car. So I don't think we could hire a person for $50,000 and pay for all the dog food and everything.
No.
Yeah, because we're just thinking of the person. You got the vehicle that's out there. You have the, you know, the food for the dog. There's a lot involved to go to that.
Yeah, no, just to...
Mayor?
Yes?
If Pet Rescue were to fold, then Othello would have to look at options. You're right in hiring a dog catcher. You can hire someone at minimum wage, give them a broken down car to go around picking up dogs. But that's only a very small piece of the issue. We then need to house those dogs, reunite them with people, put some down, take some to vets, and next, so we would have to then have our own pound. To then staff a pound, it's not going to be that dog catcher, because that dog catcher's not picking up dogs.
He's got a $250,000 bill.
So I would then say, I mean, as I'm looking at this, what would some of our options be? Maybe we contract with Humane Society in Yakima. Maybe we contract with Moses Lake. But then we're having to drive an hour and a half periodically, whether it's every day, whether it's, you know, three times a week, to drop those off, and then our citizens would have to actually drive quite a distance to recover their dog that we found roaming around. So what we're getting with Pet Rescue at $42,000 is a good deal, because it keeps us from having to do it.
Yeah, there's no question about that. There's no question about what we're already giving them, and we agreed to that. And but the whole thing is now we're being asked to agree to giving $8,000 more. And here's my thought on this: is that they were surviving before. You know, they were surviving and they were doing what they had to do. We didn't burden them with any more responsibility or any more expenses because they're collecting for what they were asked to do for us under contract, and they agreed to it. Somewhere along the line, though, it's grown bigger than what they can afford to operate. We cannot make up a shortfall of $150,000. We just cannot do that. Not on our own. And that $8,000 isn't going to go very far in making that up anyway. But when we're talking about this thing surviving, we got to start taking a look at what it's doing. Why all of a sudden now in the last 4 years, you know, have we got to this point where, okay, they've built this facility and it's now, I would like to not only just see the numbers for the last year, but I'd like to see the numbers for the last 5 years, because I have a feeling that their expenses have grown like three times.
Well, the payroll difference right here, from 17 was 170, 18 is 194, and it jumped up. It's going to jump up to 2019 to 284,000. That's almost 100 grand. That's 100 grand. So I don't know. Are they hiring more people, or what's going on there? That's a big jump. That's a big one right there.
Well, that's, you know, those are the things that outside of this forum we need to have answered and brought back to the council. I do agree with you, Phil, that it's a necessity for a community to have this, but we can't afford to keep it. Not if it costs that much. Can we downsize it? Can we get rid of some employees? Can we turn things over faster? But see, we're not actually making the decisions, because it's not being run by the city. It's being run by an independent party.
So I think what we need to decide tonight is if we include this other $8,000, it'll move their contract from $42,000 to $50,000 for the next 3 years.
It's not necessarily a contract. The city's providing them $20,000. There's nothing attached to that. The contract, which we pay $22,000 on, there is a contract attached to that. I mean, that is a contract. So are we going to raise the donation amount that the city's providing to them
for operating costs, or are we going to put it in the contract and raise the contract to $30,000 for them to take over the responsibilities of the that the city gave up?
If they're going to get any kind of raise at all, I think it needs to go be contracted, because if we're going to increase their amount of money to $50,000 a year, we need to be guaranteed that we're going to get something more than 10 hours a week of dog catching.
I agree with you.
I'm just reading their letter here again. We're requesting a $50,000 per year contract for the next 3 years, so it would all just be contract.
So it would all turn into a contract amount. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, I like that better for the simple fact that then it's locked. Don't,
okay.
Excuse me saying this, don't come back next year.
Yeah. So we get Kelly to work on behalf of the city to write up and draft a contract with them, utilizing the things that we have asked them to do and what we've worked out with them to do, so that that does not diminish or get deterred. And then we put it all under one, the whole payment under a contract.
We could easily modify the contract to encompass the entire piece. And would you want us to implement what Councilman Everett is suggesting, that we said we want a minimum of this much hours per week? So we're right now we're kind of soft on that. We say we want a minimum of 4 hours a day.
Yes.
I think time needs to be in.
I want to know that if I'm out in my backyard working on Sunday and there's a dog that's making a disturbance, and it's because the people have left for the weekend and left him in the backyard, and he has not stopped barking since 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's 10:30 at night, that I have somebody I can call.
That would require us to put some call-out language in it, which we have no call-out language other than dangerous dogs. We could take a stab at putting something like that together.
Well, there are nuisance ordinances in this city, okay? Those nuisance ordinances need to be enforced for the people of this city. And so when we have a situation like that, somebody's going to address it. Now, the first line would be to call the police department. The second thing would be, okay, how are we going to handle this? Okay, we no longer have a code enforcement officer doing that like a dog catcher. Okay, we've got a contract with Pet Rescue to pick up stray dogs and stray cats. But this is a nuisance, and it's a nuisance of an animal, and we have an ordinance on it, and that ordinance says that animals should be removed from the property. So how do we deal with that?
Councilman, we don't call animal control out, nor did we when we had Heather working. That required overtime. Generally, a barking dog, we get a couple of those probably every night or two. They're handled usually the next day, or issue a ticket, but we usually, if we're gone, it's pretty hard to deal with.
Yes.
Those are discussions that we can do contractually. If what council would like us to put together is a change to the contract that increases the service level with some extra pay, I can work with Kelly on putting that together. If we're wanting to make it so we can call somebody out all the time, that's going to require us moving more towards a full-time dog catcher.
The one thing that I think part of what you're talking about would be for vicious dogs. I had an issue with a vicious dog a couple weeks ago, and Heather ended up coming and taking care of it. So, I mean, if we've got a vicious dog in town, somebody needs to deal with it. And if we're paying them the money, they should be the one doing it.
Right. I agree. Yeah. They're the only people that can deal with a dangerous dog. And the vicious dog in that case, Heather dealt with it because it would be more expedient.
Right.
Dangerous dogs,
we will call. So I have a proposal. It sounds like we're agreeing that we want to keep this $8,000 in here, and we need to work out some of the contract information. What if we keep the $8,000 in here and we move on with these other budget amounts now, and then we can finesse some of those contract issues at a later time?
So, we're all fine with the $8,000, just as long as it's all in one contract for 3 years.
Okay.
So we need to dive into this.
And I think we have some good direction on why on that contract.
I could go up to 100 grand. Now, I know part of that's because of the amount of animals that they're now dealing with.
Yeah, but they're making revenue off those animals.
You don't want to end up going in. I know, they show that in there.
Yeah.
Well, so let's move.
Because they're losing money on their animals. Go ahead, let's go.
Let's move to the next item here. This next item is changing our 4th of July fireworks from 10,000 to 3,000, or 10,000 to 13,000. It's adding that other 3,000 there. At our last meeting, it sounded like this was an item that we wanted to keep, okay, or that we wanted to add. Our engineer, this was also an item that it sounded like everyone was behind, very behind. So I'll leave that one there. We had a few IT things here. There's the backup upgrades, the network switch. Each one of those split across different funds, so there wasn't a whole lot of effect on one individual fund. And as Abner talked about, these were some needed infrastructure items to update our system. Any?
No, I think we were all okay with that.
Okay, that's what it sounded like the other night. Drone, there's this item here. Do we want to keep that? Do we want to change it to 1,000? Do we want to, this was one of those topics, maybe we should think about this and come back to it. What are you thinking?
If we're going to buy a drone, we need to buy it. I don't think we should be buying a $1,000 drone. I think if we're going to spend the money, I think we should get a decent one. But I don't think we should go Adams County, you know, a $13,000 drone.
Yeah, I did a little investigation this past week, and I even yesterday I went to Best Buy and talked to one of their Geek Squad guys, you know, so they deal with these things, and they brought a special guy out that it's not the only thing he does, but that's one of his main things is these drones, and he will even take you out, train you, and all this kind of stuff on it. They had one there that was $1,575. And he goes, this will do anything as far as advertising, whatever that you need to do. And he goes, I mean, it's got the, he got over my head when, yeah, I can tell you about it. I was already lost. But anyway, I mean, he goes, it will automatically come back to you if it loses any type of reception. It has deals to stop. If it's coming up to a building, it will stop. This phenomenal camera on this thing that he was telling me about. He goes, he goes, see mosquitoes near about. You know, he goes, in long distance range, it was, comes in a nice hard plastic case. He goes, it was a very, very nice, you know, for especially for something that you're not going to be using tactical day in, day out type of thing.
I'm going to guess that was called a DJI Mavic. Abner and I looked after this last council meeting at specifically what our needs are and what the costs were. We found about 18, 19,100. We can get exactly, you know, something that we can grow into that would actually do a good job. 3,000 is unnecessary. 2,000 would be adequate.
I'd support that change.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Too bad.
So I put 2,000 there. Okay. I'll green light that one. 12 new chairs. These are all the council. These 8 plus these 4 here. 3,600 for that.
Where did this one come from?
It's waves. She wanted another chair. So I got her one.
Okay. Leave that one alone for now.
Don't green it for now?
No.
Okay, we'll move on. The camera system. So these next two, these were both IT items. Camera system, well, I guess let's just hit that. So this was a basic, a starter camera system. This is $30,000. Have you had a chance to ponder and think yay, nay?
Chief, do you want to refresh us again?
I met with Abner to discuss this request and why it's as much money as it is. If we were to replace the existing system that we have with cameras on top of water towers and all that kind of stuff, we're looking at significantly more money than this. What he's looking at with this is to replace the system that's within City Hall and around City Hall, so a basic surveillance and security system. I think if we were to run with this kind of money, we would then do some shopping. Maybe it isn't exactly the system that he's proposing here. I've suggested as we look out into the parks and stuff, we should be looking at a hardened system that maybe isn't beaming everything back to us live all the time. But when we have an event at that park, at that restroom, then we would go download the recordings and look at it. We may be able to do most of what we're trying to accomplish with this, but this what he's proposing would replace all the stuff that we have that's consumer grade and falling apart.
I'm in favor of greening it.
Okay.
Anybody else? Just me. I am. I ask others.
Anybody else?
You guys like that idea?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
The next item here, the council projector system. This is upgrading our projectors and the connectivity with the projectors and the wiring and those items.
I think we need to do that.
For $20,000? I think that's an expensive system.
You want to wait till the meeting on the 26th to have Abner here?
$20,000, and what else are we going to get other than what we have now? I understand somebody from the, you can connect to it wirelessly, but I didn't understand that there was much more other than available than that. I just think $20,000 is a lot of money to spend for that.
I have no frame of reference, and I don't remember exactly. It was more than just that. There was some upgrades to some other things. What was it?
Let's put this off until he can be here at our next meeting.
Okay.
Let's do that. The next few items are PD related, evidence, supplies, equipment, firing range improvements.
Green.
Here's one, the dispatch center radio update, 154. At our last meeting, we talked about splitting it three ways, doing 50-50-50 across 3 years. But if we're going to get this other law enforcement tax, I would recommend that we do it all in 1 year so we don't tie future.
Yep.
We can always ungreen something later if we... body cameras.
Green.
Yes.
Vehicle for code enforcement.
On that vehicle for code enforcement, there's some discussion from council members about whether we should be buying the plain Jane, you know, two-wheel drive, single cab, which is exactly, we quoted a low-end pickup truck for this. If we're looking at a vehicle like this, it's going to have a 10-year plus life cycle. If council's wanting something, I wouldn't mind asking for a quad cab with four-wheel drive, but I don't know what the price would be on that. You folks might have a better idea than I do.
Why do you want a quad cab for a code enforcement vehicle?
What's that, sir?
Why do you want a quad cab for a code enforcement vehicle?
I don't believe that we would only use it for that. For example, when we had the events last Thursday, we actually had to go borrow a pickup truck so we could haul stuff. We would use this as a spare vehicle as needed for a training event or whether we were actually hauling stuff. This would be a resource.
It is a department. It's a department vehicle. Whether he allows her to take it home at night or it stays in the department, it'll be a vehicle that the department gets to use.
So what figure are you?
I think you definitely need the four-wheel drive, the quad part, you know, an extended cab. I don't think you need, but anyway, that part, that's...
What's the difference in price there, Eugene, between a quad and a extended cab?
$6,000.
Six?
$5,000-$6,000.
For a quad cab?
Between a quad cab and a extended cab.
And what would it cost generally for a four-wheel drive? Yeah.
You're probably about $10,000 more.
So
10 to 12, you're probably around 45.
So 2 months ago, I was looking for pickups. I was down at Lithia in Tri-Cities for a quad cab, four-wheel drive Ram. Wasn't completely loaded, didn't have leather seats in it, $39,000. But I'm with you, it needs to be a four-wheel drive, especially if Heather's going to be looking at running alleys for wires or anything else. These alleys in the wintertime are obnoxiously rude.
So we're looking at a half ton?
Three-quarter ton, right?
Three-quarter?
What we asked for was a three-quarter ton.
Okay.
My preference would be a three-quarter ton.
Okay.
You should be right around 44.
Well, go to the three big boys, Ford, Dodge, and Chevy, and see
what... Well, you go through a state bid, right?
This was state bid. State bid is not always cheaper. State bid lets us avoid going through the bidding process.
Right.
We might be able to go local and actually save some money. But in this case, we're looking at state that I can come back at the next council meeting with a state bid price for this conversion.
Now, when you do a state bid price, do you have to do a particular brand? A Ford, Dodge?
I think Ford is the state. I don't believe that Dodge. Yeah, I prefer Dodge. But the Ford is on the state bid. I don't know if there's any...
Ford, Dodge, and Chevy are all on the state.
Yeah, they're all. Yeah, they're all three on. They're all three on there.
And Ford's cheaper than about $250 less than Dodge Chevy.
For $250, I'd buy Dodge.
I agree with you. Of course.
What do we change that to then?
Is this a green?
Should we go to 40?
I think it should be 40.
At minimum 40.
Yeah.
But it's a department vehicle though. We're not just going to call it a code enforcement vehicle.
Yes,
it's a department vehicle.
Can I ask the question? Why do you want a three-quarter ton pickup for code enforcement?
Because it's not just being driven around for code enforcement. It's a department pickup truck that we can use for hauling.
I have a half ton extra cab. Got for about $18,000. So smoothie right.
What's she got now?
She has a 1997 or something.
Explorer Expedition.
What would she be pulling? That's a good question.
The radar trailer is the easy one. That takes nothing. But I don't see this as a vehicle we're going to be using for heavy towing. But we do have access to that go-kart EUI trainer. Pulling that back and forth, small vehicle
for
that. I think we'd be mostly using it as a pickup truck, not a
tow
vehicle.
If you're
going
to do that, then you can just do a half ton.
Yeah, go to half ton.
Save plenty. Save a fair amount of money.
Okay.
And I thought you were going to be pulling some substantial stuff.
We'll get state bid pricing and we'll bring it to you next
week. Mm-hmm. That way you can go to the quad cab in the half ton and still save a lot of money.
Should I change that back to the 30 now and leave it as white?
No.
Leave 40 in.
Leave 40, and I'll just
save money. We save money.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Well, so should I leave it green?
Green.
Okay, I'll leave it green.
Just go.
These green pass go. These other two are the last two PD items. UTM practice handguns. At 5,000 and 5 mobile data terminals at 12.5.
Yeah.
Oh, those were the computers for the mobile terminals, the computers for the cars?
These five replace our first five laptop computers we bought.
All right.
We have them on a 4-year replacement cycle.
Okay.
And so they're at the coming up the end of their cycle.
Perfect. Green.
Green. Now on those UTM practice handguns, are you gonna get the vest with the shock?
said the vest, the shock.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, getting hit by those bullets is bad enough. I don't want to make it shock, too.
Yeah. Well, they've got electronic ones now that will literally shock you if you shoot the wrong person.
Wow.
It's conditional training, just like Pavlov's dogs, you know. You won't shoot the wrong guy.
More than once.
So moving on. Two service trucks in Public Works.
Yeah.
Click the wrong button here.
And that was service body and everything, right, Terry?
Body, Tony, the back.
Okay.
The next few items are heading over the parks. We have the heat exchange in the pool.
That's all I have a choice.
Yep.
Sean, you're going to get us funding for that, aren't you? Aren't you working on some park funding?
The funding that we're hoping to get is going to be for the ball fields. That we didn't get. We didn't get funded for that. So this is what, a 10-year fix on the pool, on that those portions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And this one, the next one is the backwash tank.
Yeah. This freezing swimming team kids.
Make me want to swim faster. I know.
Were you ever able to get numbers for people that use the pool?
Yeah, I got lots of numbers for people.
For the attendance on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, awesome.
So the backwash tanks?
Yes.
Sounds like that's green.
Should be all done at the same time.
Here we had 60 for the Lions Park restroom, 60 that we'd add to the existing 100. At our last meeting, we took that off just to leave 100 there.
I don't know. To me, that's something that needs to go more towards a fire truck than.
I agree. I think $210,000 or $180,000 on a bathroom that is actually needed for one or two events a year, we can rent a lot of porta potties for that.
Did you get a price, Amy, on the?
No, I'm waiting for the dealership to call me back on the single wide air conditioned.
Yeah. So we could store at the new facility. Yeah.
So let's.
I think with the council saying they don't want that right now.
We had two items for our library. Oh, I skipped. Oh, yeah, the council projector. We're going to come to that. Come back to that. Two items in the library, the electrical upgrade and the roof. At our last meeting, it sounded like it was something that council wanted to do. So the question may be more, do we want to fund it out of the general fund if we have the ability to, or do we want to leave it over in this category, REIT, over here?
In the REIT fund?
Here, I'll move it up. Yeah, this is REIT right here.
We don't have a reserve fund balance set in that
for
account?
No. No.
So we're still gonna finish with 26, 27.
Leaving those items, yeah.
Leaving those items there.
Yep. I think it's necessary. It's our building. We own it.
We gotta do it.
We gotta maintain it.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next one.
And we've known about this condition for years. We need to fix it.
The next two items are both beautification committee related. 25 for the standard. And then 8,000 to replace the damaged one.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that, Chief, that damaged pool, that guy doesn't have to pay restitution on that or anything?
Even if the court ordered restitution, I'm not pretty optimistic about it. So.
Well, that state law said that if he caused an accident and he did damage, his license is suspended until that's all paid back. Well, then.
You can't suspend that.
Jeez.
Oh.
So before we come here to fire reserves and central services, there's a piece of low-hanging fruit right over here. This is the $55,000 for the solid waste. These are the alley approaches in conjunction with the garbage trucks. This is something that we've added every year for the last number of years. I'm assuming that's a green.
Yes.
Okay. So we can come back to these two items here. At our last meeting, we discussed adding $50,000 to fire reserves. We currently have approximately 300 in there. So if we add 50,000 for the next 4 years, that would be $500,000 in that fund. Which, well, yeah, depending on the kind of truck. And then the other item here was central services account. This is something that we've talked about for a number of years, but it's always come down to the line, and we've thought, well, let's do that next year. Well, let's do that next year. I would recommend that we at least put 50. If we put 50, that goes a long way towards funding a number of different items. Over 50,000 a year, we'll take care of a number of items. And with that, we still have ending fund balance of 34,000. That's with these two items there, and then these items up here, the chairs and the projector system in the council chambers.
We talked about the 55,000. Could that be used for gravel for the alleys?
This is for the alley approaches.
The yes. Concrete alley approaches.
But yeah. Could you use it for
gravel?
Gravel.
If we can show that that's wear and tear directly associated with the garbage trucks, yeah, you bet.
I don't think that's a tough sell. Do you?
That, in my opinion, almost all of the alleys need to be graveled, bladed and graveled. Terry does a pretty good job of taking care of them, but there's still some that's pretty rough, and most of them need gravel. The gravel would keep the dust down, keep the dirt down.
We put in year before last just about 20 yards, inch and a quarter minus. We bladed all the alleys in there, and I did 4 alley valves.
20 yards, you said?
About 20 yards.
That's nothing. That's pretty good. You did 4 alleys with 20 yards?
No. I did 4 alley paths, approaches.
Oh, okay.
Concrete approaches. Yeah. I put over the alleys that had the deep holes after I block scraped them and pulled them. I added probably 20 yards of inch and a quarter minus to the alleys in town. That was year before last.
Just to the low spots, though, not to the whole alley, though.
No, right. just the ones that had the huge holes in them that yeah. had a lot of traffic back.
Sounds right.
People park in the back, make huge holes. So I box scrape them up, and then we add the gravel. And I haul in 20 yards of inch and a quarter and 5/8 of a yard just for that.
Are we fine at leaving that at 55, or yeah. does it sound yeah. like you want to increase it maybe? Leaving it at 55?
I don't think it should be increased. I think that buffer should be left there.
Okay. I need to be closer to $100,000 on that fire truck, because that thing ain't gonna do nothing but go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we do like 75,000, or I'm just throwing out numbers, you can see what it does down at the bottom down here.
So what's the after the red zone? We got less than $10,000 is a fund balance?
That's over the $400,000 minimum fund balance. Okay. Yep.
All right.
And we can't go under that, right?
We'd
have to vote on it.
Fund balance.
Vote on
yeah.
it, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Because fund balance. If you put the projectors in and then you don't have enough money then would in there for that, we'd have to vote.
These
on.
Items right here, those yeah. are still in that calculation.
Oh, they're still in the calculation?
Yeah, they're not greenlit, but they're still, if yeah, yeah, they're yeah. here, this formula is still grabbing.
Okay, okay so if we, yeah. let's go back to the chairs. You guys want them or don't want them, or are you just, what are you thinking?
I'd I think they've had their life.
Yeah.
Especially
these ones?
For somebody as pleasantly plump as I am.
Okay.
So,
I hate the hell out of these chairs. I do. I do not like them. But I'm really.
Well, at least we got a rail to lean against. You don't.
Right. Yeah, I have to have this rail.
Well, you can set it so it don't move.
That, yeah. Yeah, but then that's more uncomfortable than you're sitting like this.
I know.
Right.
And that's probably a little bit of a high estimate, but.
That's only $300 a chair.
Yeah. No, they're expensive. Expensive.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with going down to Public Works and grabbing theirs.
$300-$400 for a chair, easy.
Trade them.
Yeah.
No, I'm good to green that. I think we should.
All right.
I'm with you. I'm good.
Good.
So at our next meeting, we have this item that we'll come back to. And then down here, do you want to talk about these some more? Do you want me to green them?
I think you better green the fire and reserves.
Yeah.
Let's green that one.
And the central service, let's start it. Because explain.
Should we get it 50 first time?
Well, this is what it's for. Go ahead.
Spencer and I spent some time today on this, putting together what this would do. This would, with an 8-year life cycle for the radio consoles with $154,000, this would take care of that. So at 8 years, you would have the money. I wouldn't have to ask for $154,000, you would just have the money to buy it. Things like gun replacements, the camera replacements, those kind of things are built into this. So basically at the end of their life expectancy, we keep putting that fixed money into it every year. And then when the big ticket items come, you're not going to have to worry about finding it because we've already budgeted and have the bank.
Yeah, but Chief, I think Terry will eat that up in a new air conditioner in a heartbeat.
Yeah, can I get into that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to get in on that front.
Is that more, is it more or less this?
You got four funds to draw from, Terry.
Well, but is a central service fund, is it going to be used for the buildings and the maintenance on the buildings?
That's totally up to us.
To eliminate the need for red zone items being appropriated through.
It would get rid of some. So there are some expenses that we have that are shared across the board. The backup updates, each one of our funds need to help pay for that because each one of them benefit from that. With this central services, if the general fund is putting money in, just putting money aside, that money should still be used for items that are for the general fund, PD, parks, some of those kinds of things. If we want to build the reserves for like the building, some HVAC, and I've heard over the years rumor about replacing carpets or starting to build up money 5 years down the road, 10 years, just, when we need to do that.
There's ongoing maintenance issues then, with everything that the city owns. Okay, mm-hmm. We're looking at things that have been overlooked on the library, the public library today. Mm-hmm. We're looking at things that have been overlooked that if we had taken care of them and addressed them, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe we wouldn't be spending $50,000 and, you know.
Yeah, so this $50,000 would be set aside in a fund that could be used for something like the library. That's a general fund activity. And then 5 years from now, when we need a new dispatch radio upgrade, or we need another $20,000 update in our libraries, we would already have that money put off to the side. That's the whole idea behind it.
So all that money, if it's going to be used, for example, if the chief needs it for something, does it have to come through council before he takes out $10,000-$15,000 out of that?
Yeah. It has to be budgeted. It'd be in its own fund, and we would budget that just like anything else.
So all we're doing there is putting money aside, like you said.
Savings for, account.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So savings
for a rainy
account.
Day. Or not for a rainy day, but for those expenses that we know are going to be reoccurring.
Unknown expenses.
Not unknown.
For known, like things that aren't on a regular schedule. 5 years,
if
8 years.
That we have identified, that we know they have a life expectancy.
Oh, got it.
The console system. If we give that an 8 year life cycle, then we know that 150,000 divided by 8 is what we need to be putting away, so that at the end of the 8 years we can buy that. So I wouldn't come to council and say, hey, I've got this great idea, I want to have money to buy this. That would be a separate capital item. This is basically to maintain the ability to replace those things in the future that are big ticket items.
So for this dispatch center radio update, $154,000. If we had been for the last 10 years, if we put $15,000 away each year, then that little bank of money could be used to purchase this 154 instead of the operating money in our general fund.
So in a sense, John, if we had that money in there, that could have been used for the library.
Yep.
Which is good.
Yeah,
I don't see nothing wrong with it.
If we were putting it aside for the library, if we're just creating a savings account to draw from, that's what a
reserve fund is.
A reserve fund looks like. This would be for specific items. My recommendation would be for specific items. If the council is looking to basically raid it every once in a while, in rough words, I've seen that cause problems. For example, in my previous city, we used this for our police car purchases. Well, if we've got 500,000 in there for police car purchases, but we need to balance the budget this year, and I can't then buy those police cars and it all falls apart next year, then where do we find that money? So this, my recommendation for me would be the items that I put in that, they're specific items with a specific life expectancy, and that's when we want to replace them.
But if you want to do something for replacement of equipment or maintenance of equipment or, you know, something physical, somewhere in your budget, you need to build that into your budget. So you need to come back, you know, in the next budget cycle and say, okay, this is what I need from the general fund for these purposes. And you should already have, you do, I think, have a line item for replacement of vehicle, a vehicle replacement every year, don't you, Phil?
As long as you keep buying two cars a year, then that already functions like the civil services account. But
yeah, okay. But we've never refused not to do it.
There was 1 year that we bought one that put us in a pickle. 2 years later, we'll be up by three.
Yeah, but you offered that up because things were tight. Were tight. Yeah. Okay.
So, well, there was discussions today that just the police department alone is probably about a $43,000 a year allocation. Preliminary discussions, you know, when you look at dispatch console, when you look at, you know, the different things that we, you know, I remember, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, we had to upgrade the Spillman system. And then we had to do, you know, and none of this goes away. And so if we get into the regular habit of allocating towards that, then we expand into public works, park and rec, and then we begin to expand into the building maintenance and replacement of HVAC and, you know, on and on and on. That's where this is the start of that. But we have to start somewhere. Right, Spencer?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can put a little bit away each year to save for those large purchases every.
I like savings accounts. I mean, it's good.
I will green that for now.
Yep.
That's all of our discussion budget-wise tonight. At our next meeting, we'll have Abner come talk about the council projector system, and we can talk about what we want, how much money is it worth, and is it a priority? You know, maybe a cheaper system will suit your needs just fine, and we can have that discussion.
Yeah, I'd like some hard numbers on that because, no offense to Abner, I heard him use the term, right around, looks like this could cost, no. I'd like to know why and how much.
Yeah. I think we need to also get back to what it was that he was going to buy for that. Because, I mean, we know those two things sitting up there don't cost 20 grand. We all know that. And so there was some other things that he included. I don't remember for the life of me what they were. we're gonna need him to tighten the number down, as you said, and also further give us the explanation. But other than that, council, you almost have a budget here.
With that, just looking into the next couple of weeks, the council projector system will be really the budget discussion on our November 26th meeting. We'll talk about our capital facility plan at that time also, and then we're looking at passing a budget on the Monday after that, December 3rd. And that budget that we passed on December 3rd will just be the culmination of all these decisions we've been making as we go. And with that, that is the budget discussion for tonight.
Okay, thank you, Spencer. We'll now move to current business 4C, the approval of the purchase of the new Public Works building at 81 Pine Street. The council on the October 8th meeting directed the mayor to pursue and investigate a purchase of this particular piece of property. One, because of its proximity and close location to the existing Public Works building, and also because of the additional buildings and things that the city could do, specifically keep all of our equipment inside, move Park and Rec potentially over to the new building, use it as storage for public records that we are out of room in our current vault. And so we have 45 days to inspect this property. So a week ago Monday, I went with the city building inspector, Tim Unra, Dan Quick, and Justin Barker from the city public works, and fire chief Gary Liebachen also came, and we inspected the buildings. You guys, do you want to bring up a copy of that building report? This is a report prepared by Tim Unra for his observations on the property. His conclusion at the bottom there says, overall the buildings are in moderate usability, well suited for the needs of the city. Minor repair and upkeep are all that is needed. Roofs have many years left in their usability. The reason we know that is because Justin Barker got up and climbed on all the roofs and looked at them. Some of them are those, I forget the name, Terry, what are those kind of roofs that they have? They're like a
TPO
type roof. I don't know if you guys know roofing. I had never heard of it, but it's a fabric that is put over. It's white and it lasts. What's the lifespan of that? Like 30 years?
It depends on the middle. You can get 15, 30, depending on the thickness of it. It's thermoplastic, basically, but it's heat sealed when they mold it together. So it's pretty durable. If you use it a lot for your wear areas to and from an HVAC unit, you have to put wear strips up there. If not, you just the rock in your boots and stuff will wear holes through it. So we add wear strips.
My first concern always is going to be the roof. Are we going to, because we're coming into winter, and are we going to end up having to take care of stuff? And it appears that the roofing issues have been taken care of. We are going to probably need to do, my estimate is we're going to need to do probably up to $150,000 over the next 5 to 10 years of improvements. That could be HVAC, that could be other things that would need updated or fixed. I know some of the garage shop doors, at least the north one, is going to need some immediate attention. But overall, our building inspector, even the fire chief, thought that this was good for the city. So given the pricing, the square footage, the proximity to the existing public workshop, and the recommendations of the city building inspector, I'm asking the city council to authorize the mayor to finalize the purchase with Susan Lyon and buy the property. In the agenda memo, I mentioned the purchase price of the property is $500,000 plus closing costs. And in addition to the building, they left behind for us office furniture, storage racks, and that large marine cargo container that is sitting out back. So with that, council.
I'm still not clear of the overall property. Are we looking at the full corner? Or A&L?
The entire block? Or what do you mean?
Well, I mean, A&L actually had that area wherever the fence existed, plus the green building.
Yes.
And the whole block all of that.
Northwest corner.
Can you bring up the tax sifter and just kind of...
There's a piece in the northwest corner that is in the middle of the
But I just want to be clear, Sean, what we're all going to get.
Exactly.
Yep.
You go 81, just type in 81. There it is. Pine. No photo.
Yeah, all you gotta do is click on the map.
There's Pine, right there.
There you go. So it's right there next to Fir Street, right there.
And this is the line.
Mm-hmm. That's the line. It's just that one square. Right there. That's the only thing, that small piece. Yeah, and they've got that fenced off. Okay, great. Now I understand.
Okay. Any comments, council?
How are we funding it?
Spencer?
The mayor and I have been talking about a few different options. We have some reserve funds that we're thinking about using for these. We can come back, we can present that at our next meeting also. This would be funded not just by general fund or general fund reserves, but a number of different funds that would help pay for this. The water and the sewer industry, each one of them would help pay for it. So start cutting up that big payment into much smaller pieces.
So a particular interest to the council, I'm thinking of about somewhere of around $100,000 coming from a general fund reserve, and then the balance of it being paid out of the sewer fund, the water fund, and what was it? Was it the street or the solid waste that we were, or both?
Well, a piece from
mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's, you know, by and large, that's what the property is used for, is going to be for public works type operation. So, should we do it?
Oh, you're asking for a vote tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I'll make the motion to have the mayor proceed with the purchase of that property.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Let's move to our unfinished business tonight. Does the city council have any unfinished business you want to bring forward? We're starting to address it, these unfinished things.
Columbia Street.
I think I'm going to let Terry answer that one. Terry, Columbia Street?
I give that back to the mayor. No, just kidding.
There's part of it. I know.
Well, you got Ann over there. She can help you.
I've got a email into Mr. Green, Dale Green from Columbia Northwest Engineering to meet on site tomorrow at 9. He wanted to take a look at a few things, go over a few things. We were supposed to meet last Thursday, but he never showed. So I'm waiting for a return email back so I can finish that up and get that on the way. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Everything else seems to be there. It's just a couple of questions he had.
And do you want to explain where we are at a certificate of occupancy? I mean, you waited all this time, Ann.
We are waiting for CBHA to provide us with corrected plans and an estimate of the work and a bond, which we have been waiting for probably at least a month. We've been discussing with them, trying to get them to
actually
move
we
forward.
Started in August, and we've been waiting on certain things. The city has not held this process up at all. We've been waiting on we're just waiting on information. We've had Kelly involved, and I spoke with Kelly about that this afternoon. Part of this process also is to determine, in the developer's agreement, it says that they will pay their fair share of Columbia Street. And Kelly has been asking them, Greg Brandenburg, now for the better part of a month, what their fair share would be. And we're still waiting on them to come back with a figure. Honestly, fair share is probably 50% less anything that the city had agreed, maybe upsizing pipe or something like that. But is that correct, Ann?
Yeah, we turned it over to the city attorney, and he told me today he's heard nothing from them, so.
Mm-hmm. So we're just waiting on them. So I want the council to know that. So if you are in any conversations and you want to understand where's the city is not holding this process up at all. We're waiting on Columbia Basin Health Engineer to finalize those plans, get them corrected. They've been sent back to him 3 times for corrections. So as soon as they get that in, and they get their requirements and the bond issued, then they'll have their certificate of occupancy. But on a brighter note, I've had discussions with Steve McFadden about bringing to the table the developers who purchased the property just south of them on 14th and Columbia. And this road isn't going to get built here this winter, but by next spring there might be able to be an agreement negotiated between them so that this road on Columbia doesn't get paved just to the driveway of Columbia Basin Health. It get paved to the end of their property, and that allows the developers then to move forward with the rest of their development plans. So that we're working on that to make that happen. Thank you, Ann. Is there any other unfinished business? All right, I have some new business. Does anybody else have any new business? Okay, the first item of new business is Larry McCourty's funeral is at 1 p.m. Wednesday at the Othello Nazarene Church. That has changed about 3 times, and I might have even talked to you guys about different time and place, or at least different place, but it's now been confirmed it'll be Wednesday at 1 o'clock, Othello Naz. The Pilgrim Lutheran Church where he attended,
a little bit small.
It was going to be small for this affair. They did send me a copy of his obituary, and you learn a few things about people that you didn't know. But he moved here when he was 3 years old, and he became basically Mr. Othello in sports and other things. And so he has a nice history, and it would be nice to see. I'm going to attend. Some of you guys will be able to get off work, some of you won't. But at any rate, I will express the sincere condolences from the city council to his family. So, okay. The other thing I have as new business is December 4th is the annual Lukens and Annis Christmas party. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Davenport Hotel. And if anybody is interested in going, you need to let me know probably by tomorrow or the next day. You'll have to drive up and attend that. I've gone to it. I didn't go last year, but I've gone to it a couple of times. It's a nice affair. You get a lot of the who's who of Spokane attends that event. So if any of you guys are interested in going, the council got an invitation, which they send to me, but I'm extending that to you guys. So just say the word. And that's the last of my new business. Is there anything else to come before the council tonight? Very good. Having no further business, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:02 p.m.